Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. I am here today for my good friend, Sean Hannity, who has taken another abrupt vacation day. This is Linda McLaughlin, and I am unfortunately saddled to fill these very big shoes. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. But Sean, you know, he works so hard, you know, and all we can do is just stand with Sean. And today I'm going to talk with Sean. I'm going to do my best to emulate Sean and just be here for him.
You can't even pull it off. You can't, you know. You cannot pull it off. It's you tried, but it was awful.
The hardest part was not laughing.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching you. By the way, you notice I was sitting back acting like you were going to have to go on for an hour.
Yeah, you got your arms up behind your head. I'm like, oh, no pressure here. Jeez.
You know, what people don't know me very well. I mean, the number of people that, you know, like my buddy Keith. I love Keith. The inventor of the, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, all my friends, are you okay?
Yeah, the abrupt vacation that you take at the same time every single year.
You know what's hilarious about it? Mark Simone and I think Eric Erickson, they both said, Linda asked us 4 weeks ago if we'd be available to fill in for Hannity. And it was not an abrupt vacation.
Actually, take a listen. This is pretty funny, actually.
All right, go.
So I'm reading everywhere, and these are major news outlets, mysterious sudden vacation of Sean Hannity. Mysterious. All of a sudden, he's gone. Well, first of all, I was asked to fill in Thursday of that vacation. Mm-hmm. I think they asked me 2 weeks ahead of time. So,
well, that's sudden.
It wasn't so sudden.
Very abrupt.
I think I got the email 2 weeks ahead of time. So it was a planned vacation.
Mark is the best. Well, Mark is all. Mark Simone is on our New York flagship, WOR, the talk of New York, New Jersey, and Long Island. He's such a, and he fills in, as you know, on this program. Anyway, happy Tuesday. It's not Monday. It's Tuesday. Glad you are with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Look, I do not like wasting a lot of time talking. And people can say, yeah, right, Hannity. Everybody loves to talk about themselves. All you talk show hosts are egomaniacs. But not for the whole show. Not for a whole period of time here, which I did on Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever day last week, and I'm going to do again here today. I'd rather talk about the things that motivate me. You know, what really motivated me in the election, and I said it every day, was, okay, 50 million Americans in poverty, 50 million on food stamps, and, you know, 95 million Americans out of the labor force, worst recovery since the 40s, double the national debt, the lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. If we can get, I believe, what I supported in the election, the Trump agenda, through, we're going to help all those people that are suffering because of bad government policies. That's the you have no idea. That's what motivated me so much in the campaign, motivates me today. But if I don't stay on the air, I won't be able to say any of these things to you, and I'll be driving around in a car by myself. I guess I'll build a camera at home and I'll just go on TV and talk to myself. Maybe I'll put it on, you know, maybe I'll put it on, I don't know, could you put it on YouTube Live or no, Facebook Live? I could do that, right? But that's not what I want to do. And I want to spend some time today telling you, I never read so many articles in my life over the time I was off, and about how I'm being fired and how I'm not going to be on the air and how my career is over. And how even some of the people that are supposedly with conservative publications, I deserve it. Why? I'm going to get into this today. And since, I don't know, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, I don't even remember anymore, but there's a George Soros, Hillary Clinton-supported group, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Look at Stanger. He's dying that Linda started the show. That have, for many, many years now, been out there and have been targeting conservatives. Very Alinsky-like. What they do is they take one at a time, one voice at a time. Now, they've gone after Dr. Laura, and they recently went after O'Reilly, and O'Reilly lost a couple of hundred advertisers. O'Reilly's not at Fox News anymore, is he? They went after Rush and the whole controversy, whatever, the Sandra Fluck controversy. They went after Beck in the past. The same group that pointed out that Don Imus, you know, it didn't matter that Don Imus wanted to apologize, that he went to meet with the people at Rutgers, that he said something stupid. Okay, he admitted it was stupid, it was dumb, it was ignorant. I apologize, and I want to make it right. That's not enough in this day and age. They want every conservative voice silenced. That's the environment we all work in every day. And I've told you now for many years something that is a reality of being a conservative in the media today. And now that it is hitting critical mass for me, I will remind you what I've been telling you, is there are people whose entire job that they get paid to do, and we even know who some of them and many of them are, their job is to monitor every conservative on the radio, Hannity, Levin, Laura Ingraham, Rush Limbaugh, all of us, in the hopes that a conservative says one dumb thing, one word, one phrase, one paragraph, and often they actually purposefully take it out of context, in the hopes that they can begin the effort of an advertising campaign. You attack the advertisers of a show, and that is the single quickest way to destroy the show's viability. And once it becomes financially not viable, then all of a sudden the people that hire conservatives are willing, is it worth it? Let's bring in X, Y, or Z. And that's what's happening to me now. And I have now, by the way, the USAA has come back on the Hannity show, as has, what's the other name of that other advertiser that apparently has come back too?
Peloton.
Right, Peloton. Because, and the only reason that happened is because I went out and told you what was happening to me. And you responded at a level that has blown me and everybody in my life away. I frankly don't think I deserve it. And some of you say, yeah, that's for sure. In as much as I'm very, very humbled by it all. I take the job seriously. I don't take myself seriously. But when you have a coordinated effort right now that is going on in the country to silence and take out the Fox News channel the way it's coordinated. Now, the group, the Soros Clinton group, is not calling it a boycott in my case because they don't have anything. So they just call me horrible names, take things I've said out of context, lie, and all these, and again, Soros, other people funded, millions of dollars go into this organization. And what they do is they listen every hour, every second, every minute of every day, radio, TV, in the hopes I say something that they can then use to boycott the show and silence the voice of the show. And in very Alinskyite fashion, I mean, there's a certain evil genius to it all, but it's not good for the country. What they've done is they've isolated one conservative after another, and they have, in some cases, been successful in damaging the finances of the show and damaging the host's reputation and, in some cases, getting the scalp of that host and getting them off the air and winning that way, so they think. I have always, my entire life and career, have never supported a boycott. I don't believe in silencing opposition voices. I hope you never do it, but I want you to listen 3 hours a day. But you don't have to. You have other options. You have other choices. I really want you, I want to put on a good enough radio show and a good enough TV show every day for you, offering news and information an interesting guess, an opinion that you're not going to get elsewhere in the media. I want to do that every day. It's my passion. It's my dream. God has blessed me beyond measure to be able to do this every day. But you don't have to watch either. There's an on and off button, and there's a channel selector, and you don't have to watch any one show. And, for example, more recently, when Bill Maher suggested, quote, a joke, nothing funny in my mind, about incest between the president of the United States' daughter and the president, it was really evil, twisted, dark, and sick. But I have my answer, and it should be everybody. I don't watch your show. When Colbert did what he did, and I tweeted out, I'm not going with, what was it, boycott Colbert, or whatever it was, Colbert, stop Colbert, I don't know. And I wrote on Twitter, some people got mad at me. I said, Hannity, you have to join us, and this needs to stop, and the only way it's going to stop is if we boycott them. And I said, I don't support it. Now, in fairness, this group that Soros Clinton group is attacking me, they're not calling it a boycott. They just listed all my advertisers, contacts, and said, oh, we're just informing the advertiser. So they're not calling it a boycott. So I actually say, okay, there's a group that started. I was blown away. I didn't know this group was starting, I don't know, back in May or April or whatever it was. And they're both long-term friends of mine. Melanie Morgan, who used to be a KSFO, and Brian Maloney, the radio equalizer guy, he's been a friend of mine in radio for years. And all of a sudden, I read that they started this group, Stand With Hannity, Stop the Scalping. This is long before this attempt to silence my voice has started here. Well, they now started a new campaign, and it's Fight Fire With Fire. And what's so amazing about this campaign is they're saying, no, it's not a boycott, but they have listed all of Rachel Maddow and all. I mean, I don't ever watch the show. The crap she says, if it wasn't, I'm stunned. She is a conspiracy kook. But in America, she has a right to do that. So they've done now what the Soros Clinton group did. And what they're saying is, here are her advertisers. Here's her kooky conspiracy theories. You know, here's her, you know, saying very bizarre things and you know, talking about, we'll play some of it coming up in a minute. And they're saying, here are her advertisers. Here are her thing. Here's her crazy stuff. And by the way, they're doing exactly what the left does is doing to me and has done to conservative after conservative after conservative. They're calling me a conspiracy theorist. She is the most conspiratorial human being I've ever seen. And if you go to the website, mediaequalizer.com, you can see and read it for yourself. It is so off the hook. I mean, by the way, it's like MSNBC, NBC, CNN. It's all primetime conspiracy theory all the time. There's no evidence of collusion, Trump, right? But they keep advancing it. I'm supporting this effort in part because I don't think it's ever going to end until the left is now subjected to the same treatment they've treated on the treating conservatives. It's not a boycott. They're saying it's not a boycott. And they've also said one other thing. They said if it stops, they'll stop. In other words, they're talking about, and I spoke to one of them off the air, they're talking about CBS, Colbert. They're talking about a lot of cable shows that have a lot of wacky things said by a lot of wacky hosts. They have MS, they have CNN, they have ABC, they have Stephanopoulos, they've got them all. And the track record and the things that these people have said is breathtaking. And so what they're saying is, if this is what you are going to do to freedom of speech in this country and your attempt to drive conservatives off the air, then we're not going to take it anymore. And they said, fight fire with fire. Now, you go to mediaequalizer.com. They're also going to join us coming up later in the program today and explain what they're doing. And it's sad to me. This is not what I want to talk about today. This is not what we ought to be talking about today. Not one liberal host that I know of, the only liberal I know that supported me is Lanny Davis. Not one liberal host said, stop Hannity, stop this attack on Hannity. I believe in freedom of speech. Just like none of them defended Ann Coulter. And none of them defended Milo Yiannopoulos and his right to speak at Berkeley. Like none of them ever defended all the other Media Matters people that were attacked over the years. We'll get back to this in a minute. And we'll get to your calls on this as well. Then we have Newt Gingrich coming up today. We have an investigation into the deep state. It has gotten worse than ever. I think it's the biggest news story of our time. And the people that are starting this Fight Fire with Fire campaign, Melanie Morgan and Brian Maloney. I want to remind you, by the way, please thank you, my advertisers, because I know the pressure that has been brought to bear on you. And you've stuck with us. And even people that left got hammered so hard, they're now back with us. And I can't thank them enough. And for those of you that support the show and what we're doing, you supporting our advertisers has been amazing. If I'm going to be called a conspiracy theorist and, you know, the Soros Hillary group that targets conservatives and attempts these boycotts. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not a boycott. We'll just list the advertisers, how to contact them and tell them to shut Hannity down. But it's not a boycott. Imagine some of the things I'm about to play for you in the next half hour. And I just think that the only way to stop this is what this group is doing. And I support it. I want to remind you one other thing. If you need a job, ExpressPros.com can help. They got Career Inspiration Express podcast on the job, hired to retired. ExpressPros.com. We'll come back and wait till you hear what we play next. We got that, Newt Gingrich. Who else do we got? I was a minute short.
We have Melanie Morgan and Brian Maloney.
Yeah, I know. They're the people. Sorry, it's been a whole 5 days. I'm like,
we stand with Sean.
No, you want to know the funny
Damn
thing?
It.
You want to know the funny thing? Is I got too relaxed. And when I relax, it's like a whole different person emerges.
Are we now operating in a political environment which is not just politics as usual, which is not just a rowdy debate? Has enough kerosene been poured on the flames that the possibility of violence, even assassination, is being posited as a real political tactic in the United States? Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner speaking more candidly to reporters about a picture he is accused of tweeting to a woman in Seattle on Friday. According to his accusers, most notably the bombastic conservative activist Andrew Breitbart, Representative Weiner sent this tweet right after he had appeared as a guest on this show. The picture was almost immediately deleted from his picture sharing account online, along with every other picture there. Congressman Weiner says he was hacked and that he did not send that picture. But before the erasing of the picture happened, a guy who describes himself on Twitter as No Obamacare, Socialism, Sharia, retweeted what he says was the picture. Mr. Breitbart's conservative website picked it up and posted what it claimed was a picture of the original tweet. CNN then put Mr. Breitbart on television to brag about this and to make further allegations despite his history of smearing people and getting it wrong and everybody else having to apologize for the mess he made, even though he never apologizes. But the damage was done. Thus began the great big national freakout of early summer 2011.
Having been involved in a lot of different liberal groups over time, as somebody who's left roughly to the left of Mao.
This was a workmanlike speech. It was short and he went through it quickly. And it was militant and it was dark. The crime, the gangs, the drugs, this American carnage, disrepair, decay. You can't imagine the outgoing president giving a speech like that. This president also repeating, the new president also repeating that our guiding principle will be America first, America first. We know how he has used that as a campaign slogan that does also have very dark echoes in American history. There was an America First committee that formed in this country. Hundreds of thousands of people in this country, some of the richest businessmen in the country. Many of them were anti-Semitic, part of why they weren't alarmed by Hitler's rise in Germany. The America First committee is something that means a specific thing in this country. To repurpose it now, not that far down the historical path, it's hard. It's hard to hear.
I mean, in the past, we've had, like, you know, a first lady who worked on health policy. Once we had a president who hired his brother as attorney general. But we have come to think of even those things as exceptions to the rule. We have never thought of ourselves as a country where, like, Uday and Kusei get to be ministers of whatever they want, right? We don't think of ourselves as a ruling family kind of place, but now that's what we are. Mike Pence ran for Congress saying, let's not try to cure AIDS. Let's try to cure gay instead.
That's Rachel Maddow. That's NBC News. Now I'm going to go back to what I was saying here. These attacks by the Soros, in part funded, other funding, millionaires, has all... Those are conspiracy. I don't know where to laugh. I mean, it's like, seriously, tinfoil hat stuff here. And they called me a conspiracy theorist, which I'll get to in a second. And, you know, comparing the Trump kids to Uday and Kusei, and let's see, inauguration speech, dark America, like the first, like, Hitler supporters in the 40s. Really? I wonder if Glenn Beck said that about. Oh, that's right. He did, in a way, about Obama, something to the, you know, used to show the videos and, you know, the left would go insane. And, oh, that's right. The Soros Clinton group targeted Beck, you know, and left of Mao, which, by the way, in this country, you can be left of Mao. That's fine. I think it's weird, but that's fine. Whatever you want. Obamacare opponents, you know, basically planning assassinations. It is. And then we got. Defending Wiener, I think, was probably one of my favorites. They even got, like, promoting a Boston bomber conspiracy. We'll play some more of this later. Look, I'd rather not do this. It's not a boycott. It's what the Clinton Soros group has done to many a conservative. They call me a conspiracy theorist, but not Rachel Maddow, because the 501c3 Soros Clinton group... tax exempt has a left wing radical political agenda. And now it's to take out conservatives. I'm the latest target. I'm not the first target. And so people like Melanie Morgan, co-founder of the Media Equality Project, she's been a radio host, independent TV producer. She and Brian Maloney, co-founder of the Media Equality Project, their website is mediaequalizer.com. They started this effort to defend me. Was it in May or April? May, right? Okay.
It was early beginning of this
May.
Month. Beginning
okay.
of this month, May.
Okay. And it's called Stop the Scalpings, hashtag Stop the Scalpings. And if you go to their website, Media Equalizer, and they are basically taking the model of the Soros Clinton group. It's not a boycott, but we're going to put up every insane thing that she has said, in my opinion. And we're going to put up every bizarre tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. We haven't even mentioned the nightly Trump-Russia collusion without any evidence. And we're going to give people the opportunity to weigh in with the advertisers. That's up to them. But it's not a boycott. And I reluctantly support this effort. Because when you read what they're saying, they're also saying, okay, when you stop the attempts to take out conservative voices, then they'll stop. But it's not going to be a one-way street anymore. They're calling it fight fire with fire. The left has caused this. The left has been the intolerant ones. The left does not, they give lip service to freedom of speech, but they don't celebrate freedom of speech. They don't exercise what they proclaim. Just like Hillary proclaimed she was a champion of women's rights. How much money did Clinton Foundation take from countries like Saudi Arabia that treat women like garbage? Absolute can't drive, must dress a certain way, can't travel abroad. You know, gays and lesbians murdered. Murdered. She's taking money from those countries for just being who they are. Christians and Jews persecuted. She took plenty of money from all those countries, and I won't go over all of them now. You know, I got Kathy Griffin, a picture of Kathy Griffin with a dummy of Donald Trump's head decapitated with blood all over it. Imagine if a conservative did that to Obama. I wonder if the Soros Clinton group is going to boycott her or sorry, talk about her advertisers or tell people about it so they won't buy tickets to whatever show she's doing or whatever show she's on. It's the group now says, and I'm going to go over what their point is. I want to read some of what they're saying here. It says, today, conservatives stand together with hashtag stop the scalpings. And it's now, I think, all over. It's everywhere on social media. Hannity.com is bombarded at levels we've never had before. Their website, MediaEqualizer.com, is bombarded like never before. One of the reasons, and I just heard the USAA has come back on our show, and the other advertiser came back on the show. What was the other advertiser?
Peloton.
Okay. Is because of all of you helping me, and I'm humbled by it. The conservatives that, you know, it's Sean Hannity standing up for women and the mistreatment in the Middle East under Sharia. The mistreatment of gays and lesbians under Sharia, and the persecution of Christians and Jews in some of these Sharia countries. So they go out, stop the scalpings, to push back against the attempt to silence those who dare to ask tough questions and pursue truth. Sean Hannity, Fox News, took it upon himself to delve deeper into a story, one that left many unanswered questions and required further investigation. Stop the Scalpings is part of the Media Equality Project, and new organization launched, I guess, in early May by Brian Maloney and Melanie Morgan, two longtime talk show hosts, political and media analysts. The DNC, mainstream media, George Soros, this group that is Soros and Clinton supported, deemed Sean Hannity's pursuit of the facts too close for comfort in an effort to protect their ilk and keep their secrets safe and the secrets they keep. They have created a false narrative. They've defamed Hannity's character, his work, and political positions. Oh, yes, they have. Yes, they have. They're now targeting Hannity's advertisers in a backdoor effort to remove financial support from the show. They do this to silence his voice because it does not speak in unison with their own. And they've done this to other conservatives. For months, there has been widespread media narrative advancing a conspiracy theory that the Trump campaign and the Russians colluded to release the DNC emails to WikiLeaks. Now, let me stop here for a second. Let me play the montage of Clapper. I think it's Comey, Brennan. Let's see. Admiral Rogers said it. Maxine Waters, Joe Manchin, Dianne Feinstein. They all said there's no evidence of collusion, but we've had thousands of hours. You want to talk about a conspiracy? This is one, as well as Hillary Clinton signing off a waiver so that Vladimir Putin gets 20% of America's uranium, and so much money with people associated with that deal gets kicked back to the Clinton Foundation. Listen.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that, to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Can you say definitively that there was collusion? There were people affiliated with the Trump campaign who were working with Russians to time the release of damaging information about Hillary Clinton that had been hacked either from John Podesta or the DNC?
I don't think we can say anything definitively at this point.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
sure.
you've made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that had.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist
of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
Now, I'm just going to say this and wrap this up, and then we've got Newt Gingrich. We're going to have Melanie Morgan and Brian Maloney on the program later today. I just want you to know this is a kill shot for me. They want me off the radio, off TV, out of business, and if this is the tactics now that they're going to use, I don't see any other option but to fight fire with fire, and that's why I support them. I'd rather never be a part of anything where you go, we'll tell your advertiser, you tell our advertiser, we'll say you said something nutty, and look at all the conspiracy theories Rachel Maddow supports. But there's no other way if you want to keep the Fox News channel, in my opinion, and conservatives on radio, because this is a systematic, George Soros in part funded, a group in part founded by Hillary Clinton to destroy conservatives. And they only go after conservatives. I'm only saying this to you because I am the only one in the country that I know of that's interviewed Julian Assange five times, who's the only person on the planet that really knows where the leaks came from. And he says it's not Russia. How many hours and hours of TV conspiracy theory has Rachel and others been involved in? Now, if there's evidence that ever comes out, I'll share it with you. Be glad to, but there's been none so far. But the bigger issue here is liberals are not advocates of freedom of speech. They're phony, they're hypocritical, they're liars, and this is their effort to silence, shut down, eliminate voices they disagree with. And now, according to Brian and Melanie, this will now be used against all of those people on the left that say the craziest, insane things every day. They say if these groups stop, they'll stop. They don't stop, it's going to be Rachel and then a long list of other people that have said really gross, grotesque, disgusting, despicable things, but it's not a boycott. If you want to help freedom of speech, you can see what they're doing at MediaEqualizer.com. And they'll join us. They'll join us coming up later in the program. 800-941-SHAWN. And I want to say once again, your words of encouragement, your support of our advertisers, what you've done in terms of, you know, we now have two advertisers that have reversed course all because of your efforts. And we also have so many people saying the nicest things to me. I'm just going to continue to do my job every day as long as I have this blessing and this opportunity. I know it's at stake. I know it's real. I've seen their work before. It is ugly. It is frankly despicable. It's in many ways, you know, the antithesis of what we hear liberalism stands for. And by the way, Rachel, where were you last week saying, leave? Why are you trying to get Hannity off the air? Where was every other liberal on TV? Big believers in free speech that they are. Ideally, for all of us, this goes away. But I don't think it will until the price is now on their side. Sad that it's come to this, in my opinion. But necessary if we want conservative voices to remain. I want to remind you, we got to take a break here. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. And then Newt Gingrich at the top of the hour. We'll have Melanie Morgan and Brian Maloney joining us, and John Solomon, Circa News on the Deep State, straight ahead. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to join us. I think the biggest story that is unfolding in the country is about the Deep State, and of course, the other issue that we're fighting is that we have attempts to silence not only the Fox News Channel, conservative talk radio, and now there is an organized, orchestrated effort to do to the left what they have been doing to conservatives for years. And conservatives have sat back and taken it and fighting fire with fire and stopping the scalping. And we'll talk to the two people responsible for that and John Solomon from Circa News. But first, joining us, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Have you ever seen such hypocrisy? Am I wrong? Isn't the left liberals, aren't they supposed to be the people that support freedom of expression, the free and open exchange of ideas and ideals and opinions, and They find somebody they don't like. They don't like the Fox News channel. They don't like talk radio boy. They know how to shut them down pretty quickly, don't they? They know where to go, right to the financial heart of these shows.
Well, sure. Look. What you had is the 30-year evolution with people like George Soros paying for it of a left-wing fascism which believes that it has to totally discredit anybody who gets in its way. And that's just, I mean, that's what we're up against. And I think you have to recognize that whether it's on a college campus or whether it is in politics or it's in the news media, they are trying to impose a single mindset on the whole country. And their tactics are intimidation and ruthlessness. And this whole current gimmick of let's go after the advertisers. And, of course, the advertisers respond to social pressure because the people they're really going after are the CEOs and the people who like being part of polite society. And so they get told by all of their left-wing friends, you must be a horrible person. And it does have that. Now, I watched this happen to Rush 20 years ago, and he simply outlasted it. He simply said, fine, I'll go find new advertisers, and I'll go find, you know, my audience is big enough, I don't care. And I think what we will eventually beat them down, because, and I've noticed even today, for example, there was a column in the Washington Post by a liberal taking on the left on campuses and talking about the degree to which they were behaving like Mussolini and like fascism in Italy. It was pretty impressive that this guy had finally had enough and just could not defend them anymore.
You know, it's pretty amazing. It's really sad that, you know, for example, I'm the latest target, and I'm not the only one, and you've watched this unfold over the years. You see what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to take out the Fox News channel, and I think they're trying to do it before the 2018 and 2020 elections, because I think they believe, right or wrong, that Fox had an impact on the last election cycle. And it seems like anybody that likes the president, says nice things about the president, doesn't buy the ridiculous conspiracy theory with no evidence to date. I'll report it if it comes. But, you know, that it's a Russia-Trump collusion to get to WikiLeaks, the DNC emails. And all we hear is over and over again, there's no evidence of that. And that they keep advancing it. And if you push back on it, it's like now they want to shut you down. Now they go after your advertising base. And finally, some conservatives said, okay, it's not a boycott, but we're going to do to you what you're doing to Hannity. We're going to list all your advertisers. We're going to list every outrageous, conspiratorial, insane thing you've said. And we're going to tell people to make up their own minds. Do you think that's the right strategy to finally end this?
Yeah, I think it's very important to fight fire with fire. And I think these are, frankly, people who have to be confronted. I agree with Dennis Prager when he wrote a column recently saying this is the second American Civil War. I think the people on the left were so shaken by Hillary Clinton losing on election night when they had been told up to about 9 o'clock at night that she was going to win. They were so shattered. It was such a searing experience that they've become deranged. And they went from the comfortable knowledge that they were going to now impose left-wing values using the power of the federal government to watching Donald Trump begin to roll back the bureaucracies, roll back the regulations. I mean, you look at a Trump speech and you compare it to an Obama speech, you can see how dramatically more conservative he is, and that's driving the left crazy.
It really is. What do you make of all of these developments that Obama loosens these rules as it relates to unmasking and the number of agencies that have access to raw intelligence? And what I'm talking about is, for example, Michael Flynn, I guess, is the best case. And here's a guy that was picked up incidentally. He wasn't minimized. Then it got leaked, which is a violation of the Espionage Act. Then it destroyed his career. And what do you make of the dramatic increases that have occurred as a result of Obama lightening the rules and lessening the rules and allowing the sharing of all of this raw intelligence?
Well, look, I think it was deliberate. I think they knew going out of power that they wanted to do everything they could to cripple the incoming Trump administration. And ironically, by the way, with all the talk about Jared Kushner and informal backroom connections, it now turns out that, in fact, Obama had backroom connections to Iran during the transition period. and that the very things the left is shocked by are things that Barack Obama did. So, you know, I think that anytime you see a story that starts with an unnamed source, you should assume that it's a lie, because their sources are afraid to tell the truth in public. And so the number of Washington Post and New York Times stories that have been based on unnamed sources is truly astonishing.
Let me ask you, you know, one of the things I'd like America to get back in touch with is the Trump agenda, and that is the president and his White House. But he's had to deal with all the leaks from within the White House. He's had to deal with the deep state leaks. I think the deep state is the most dangerous threat to the country and freedom and liberty and our constitutional Fourth Amendment rights that we've ever seen in our lifetime. It really is scary when you see that people are surveilled, unmasked, and they leak intelligence, raw intelligence on people. And it seems to happen again and again. How does this end? How do you stop it?
I wrote newsletter last week, on which people can get at Gingrich Productions, and I wrote it on, the title of it was Lock Up the Leakers. I want to draw a distinction. Political leaking is as old as American politics, and that's just if you have someone in your staff who's not loyal and they go out and leak, that's one thing. But when you start leaking American secrets, you are breaking the law. And I actually think they ought to have every person in the White House go through a briefing on secrecy laws and sign a note saying that they have been warned what the legal consequences are. And they just need to start locking people up. I mean, you know, the damage done to us, I thought Secretary Kelly on Sunday, our great American patriot, said at one point, you know, he said, in my mind, this verges on treason. And I agree with him. These are people who are capriciously weakening America, threatening the lives of our agents, and crippling our allies' ability to work with us. And this isn't some mild political game for reporters. This is a very dangerous pattern, historically, that puts America at risk.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is that there's not a lot of days left in the legislative calendar, a little over a month, and they're on vacation again this week. By the way, you ever see people take more vacation than these people in Congress? What the hell is that? They almost take as much vacation as you do, for crying out loud, and you're semi-retired.
I know. It's brutal.
And I have to interview you with the Penguins when you're in, where are you, Antarctica, wherever the heck you are.
And well, next week I'm going to do my interviews from Normandy, because Felicita's band is playing at St. Mary Greece for D-Day. But they have a telephone over there, and I'm going to call you, and I'll be on the show.
Do you know that 5 days for me in a row was an eternity over Memorial Day weekend? And that's like the longest I get, except for around Christmas. That's it.
I know, but you're so much younger than me.
Oh, you're killing me. You're absolutely killing me. I want to ask this. You know, I don't know. I don't really want to drag you into this whole thing. If every single solitary person from Clapper to Comey to Admiral Rogers to Brennan to Manchin to Feinstein to even Maxine Waters all saying there's no evidence of collusion, how do you justify the thousands of hours that the media has spent advancing what we have no evidence for?
It's not complicated. They hate him. They hate Trump. They wake up every morning hating Trump. They spend all day watching him on TV and reminds them how much they hate him. And anything they can do to weaken him, to undermine him, to smear him, that's why I've advocated closing down the daily briefings. That's why I've advocated moving the press corps up to Jackson Place and getting him out of the White House. These aren't reporters. These are attackers. When you have a network that Harvard study said the one network was 93% negative. Now, why would you have them participate as though they were reporters? Not. They're the opposition. And by the way, Governor Johnson did a brilliant job shutting down one of the actors.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying is a citizen.
All right, Mr. Speaker, stay right there. We're going to reconnect with you. Your line's just cutting out there at the end. 800-941-SHAWN. Also, tonight, Hannity, we are going to get into this whole issue of fighting fire with fire and conservatives now using the left's techniques. and saying, okay, if you want to silence conservatives, what's good for you is what's good for conservatives is going to be used against you. And then the people that are responsible for fighting back and leading this effort will join us later in the program today. We'll also hit it on Hannity tonight.
The only discomfort I have is with folks in the media trying to create a veniality without having the courage to specifically tell me what the veniality that I should be concerned about is. Well, I have not identified a veniality. Have you?
Well, you should be concerned if there was collusion. And that's what
I don't see any evidence of collusion. Do you?
No.
That should end your reporting right
well,
there. You should put an exclamation point after you know.
Understood. But we're at the beginning of the investigation. So what
you're
Congress
7 months into the investigation.
Not exactly.
You're
Robert
7 months.
Mueller has just taken over. Robert Mueller has just taken over.
It's a new investigation.
Over. Well, no. I mean, look, that's not exactly fair, Governor, because as you know, Congress people have been
investigation
calling for a special
went on
counsel
for the last...
to do this, to handle this, because so it gets away from all the partisan bickering. So it's just starting in that regard.
Can I ask a question? If Mueller comes out and says that my version is correct and yours isn't, how much crow are you going to eat?
Governor, I don't have a version of events.
Of course you do. The whole half hour I listened to is a version.
Governor, we are asking questions of the sources of the people who know, attempting to see where the investigation is. The investigation isn't complete.
Without identifying a veniality that should be investigated.
Governor, we appreciate your perspective that there's nothing to see here and that the investigation is, I don't know, silly?
Politically motivated by folks trying to rationalize a horribly run Democratic presidential campaign.
Governor John Sununu, thank you very much. Always great to get your perspective.
You know, as I've been saying, I mean, look, Allison's a great, I've known her for years, very nice person. It's just, you cannot defend anymore the amount of coverage that has been spent on something that every single person that knows something is saying there's no evidence for. You know, I guarantee if they ever showed up, if there's any evidence, see, Hannity is wrong. I have said from the beginning, I am open. I will report. I will tell you. I will inform you of every single thing that comes out, any evidence of, quote, collusion with Russia and Trump. We haven't seen it. And I think the former speaker's dead on. I think there are people on the left, they just wake up every morning. How can, well, we hate Trump. How can we, you know, what did he do today that we can beat up on? And how can we beat up on poor Sean Spicer and the press briefing? And how can we get our moment on TV that makes us look great? How can we do that? It is the single biggest information crisis we've ever had in the country. I mean, it's almost, it's like such groupthink. There's so little critical thinking. There's nobody seemingly that's willing to step out of the box and say, okay, is there any evidence here? Is there anything? All right, Joe in Brookhaven, New York. We got about less than a minute, Joe, but it's all yours. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, thank you. Listen, you gave us hope. You and Mr. Trump. There was no hope before that election. You have to understand, you ask why we're doing, you need to boycott. I say boycott. You and Mr. Trump saved America. I have 9 children, young kids.
Well, they're not, but listen, I want to be clear. It's not a boycott. They're just releasing information, just like the Soros-Hillary group.
Oh, I understand that.
It's not, wink, a boycott. You know, they say they're not boycotting me.
I say, look, Sean, you said the other day, before you went on the holiday, they going for the kill shot. They're going for your jugular. What, are you going to let them kill you? You're going to let them get you?
Well, I mean, I can't say for sure that they're not going to get me. I really can't. All I'm telling you is I'm fighting back, and I'm doing what I always do, and I'm not going to stop doing what I do. Unless if they take this microphone away from me, if they take the camera away from me, then I'm done, and I'll try and go somewhere else, but not till then. Thank you for your support.
What sort of threat to global security do you consider the Russian President Vladimir Putin?
I think he is the premier
and most important threat, more so than ISIS. I think ISIS can do terrible things, and I worry a lot about what is happening with the Muslim faith, and I worry about a whole lot of things about it. But it's the Russians who tried to destroy the very fundamental of democracy, and that is to change the outcome of an American election. Now, I have seen no evidence they succeeded, but they tried, and they are still trying. They are still trying to change election. They just tried to affect the outcome of the French election. So I view Vladimir Putin, who has dismembered Ukraine, a sovereign nation, who is putting pressure on the Baltics. I view the Russians as the far greatest challenges that we have.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941. Sean is our number. You want to be a part of the program. I have no idea what John McCain is saying there. I mean, he's a visit to Australia telling ABC he thinks Russia is a bigger threat to world security than ISIS. Now, we've been told, if you go back to some of the earlier testimony as it relates to Russia, we were told that, A, no votes were impacted. We were told repeatedly, let's see, by Brennan and by Clapper and by Comey and by Dianne Feinstein and even Maxine Waters and Joe Manchin and Admiral Rogers, there's no evidence of Russia-Trump collusion. So, yeah, and then we were also told that Russia had tried to impact prior elections. And by the way, if it's so bad to try and impact the election or influence the election of another country, I've yet to hear anybody in Washington talk about President Obama's attempt to influence the Israeli election in the last cycle, and that is defeat Prime Minister Netanyahu. Anyway, John Solomon is with us with Circa.com. He's the chief operating officer, and he's here to address this Russia collusion narrative that has been provoked by the left. We'll get back to our top story today, which is silencing conservative voices. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well today.
All right. So, I mean, what do you think when you hear a senator suggesting that Russia's a bigger threat to world security than ISIS when apparently, according to testimony from intelligence community, that, well, they've tried to do this in prior elections. They tried to do it here. They weren't successful, and they'll try to do it in the future.
Yeah, I think, Senator McCain has been saying something like this for some time. Going back to when we started to see Russian jets intercept American planes near Alaska and submarines playing cat and mouse games, he's been concerned about Russia's sort of interventionist military action. And it's probably a much more larger concern than any concern that they were playing with the election. I mean, we expect foreign countries to get involved in elections, and it's our job to make sure that they don't influence them. But I think he's probably talking about a much larger geopolitical threat than just the election itself.
You and Sarah Carter at Circa.com have been doing a deep dive into intelligence leaking and surveillance and unmasking, and you've now come up with new developments as it relates to the former CIA director Brennan, who, by the way, confirmed last week under testimony that, in fact, he had unmasked the identities of Americans. What have you learned, and what is the latest development?
I think all three of the alphabet soup agencies that most readily deal with intercepted American intelligence, the NSA, the CIA, and the FBI, we reported in three consecutive stories last week that all three admitted at the end of the Obama administration that they had done fairly serious privacy violations. In the case of the FBI, they took intercepted data from the NSA and they actually gave it to third parties. They listened in on potential attorney-client privileged communications and didn't have the proper protections in place. The CIA and the NSA both did searches into the databases, these Snowden-like databases we've heard about for years, that were illegal and literally prohibited. In the case of the NSA, they were prohibited for years and yet they kept doing it. So I think we've gone from a period of hey, there's some unusual stuff going on, and Obama opened up the floodgates for this to happen, to the first real true civil liberties and legal violations by all three agencies.
Is it a constitutional crisis because of Americans' Fourth Amendment constitutionally protected rights to unreasonable search and seizure?
Well, a lot of smart lawyers have said there's no doubt that these violated the Fourth Amendment. You've been saying that for a long time, Sean. I know every time I've been on your show, you've been raising that concern. Smarter lawyers than I have been able to make that case. I think more importantly, there is a crisis coming in the not-so-dear future. Congress has to decide what to do with this law, the Section 702 law that allows all this espionage on Americans. And I think the administration and the intelligence agencies and Congress are going to have a much more difficult time, perhaps the most difficult time since 9/11, in renewing these provisions and finding a new line between security and privacy. And I think that's something that's going to play out this fall. The law expires December 31st, and it's not a slam dunk that it's going to get renewed in its current form.
Let me ask about what you've discovered in terms of the surveillance of Americans, because I think this is the most troubling, because I believe in the right of privacy. I believe, look, I really admire, and I'm not saying this, I admire and appreciate what our intelligence agencies do to protect Americans. But under the guise of national intelligence, when you have such a dramatic increase in the in a presidential election cycle like in 2015 and 16, where
right.
not only are have the issues of surveillance and incidental surveillance that become unmasked and in some cases leaked, which is a crime and a violation of the Espionage Act. How bad is it? How much bigger has it gotten in this last election cycle?
Well, there's no doubt it's a threefold increase in the sort of searches intelligence agencies were doing on American data. And so either there's been a triple increase in the national security threats, which I doubt there is, or there's just a more prurient interest. Once you make it easier, of course, national security analysts are going to look at these data more frequently. And I think for the first time, we've seen the first signs not only of really substantial civil liberties violations, but a lot of suggestions of political espionage. And just take a look at what's leaked in the last few weeks, right? We remember the Mike Flynn transcript at the end of last year that sunk his role as national security advisor. But we have intercepts of the Russian ambassador being leaked concerning what Jared Kushner met with. And there's just a chronic now set of leaks that are occurring as a result of these intercepts. And these intercepts were never intended to be made public in the first place. And I think one of the big outcomes of this is that you can make a direct line from the increase in the number of people who are accessing sensitive espionage data on Americans and the amount of leaks that we have seen since the election season began in 2015.
Well, there was
There was a
list this weekend about, you know, a complete and updated list of deep state
right.
leaks to the far left and the mainstream media. I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, you got the latest with Jared Kushner and the Russian ambassador. You've got NBC, and again, it's about Jared Kushner and one of his senior advisors under the scrutiny of the FBI. People believe that's from the deep state. Or images of the Manchester terrorist attack, or, you know, go all the way back. I mean, if you want, you can go all the way back, I guess, to when the president got into office. I mean, then, of course, it's his conversations with, you know, the prime minister of Australia and other people. How many instances have you counted?
Well, I've seen two or three dozen instances in the last year where intelligence officials themselves have told me this harmed national security. This put an asset in jeopardy. It put a strategy in jeopardy. It tipped off an ambassador that we were monitoring him on the phone that he thought couldn't be monitored. I had an intelligence person this past week and talking to someone over the weekend who said, I don't think we could have fought World War II with the amount of leaks that we have today. It's just such a lack of regard for American secrecy and the fact that there may be a national security interest at stake when people leak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the sort of things that concern the intelligence community. In a few years from now, we may have consequences where we've lost assets or lost capabilities because of the amount of leaking we've seen.
I have been accused of being a conspiracy theorist for asking questions based on my public interviews with Julian Assange, who is the only person that knows where the DNC email leaks came from. He's the only one. And he had said it's not Russia. And he had said that it, and it suggested in another interview that it might be disgruntled Democrats. And I don't know the answer, but I just have been asking questions and I've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist. Let's listen to all the Democrats and intelligence officials saying that there's no evidence of collusion, but yet it has been reported on for thousands of hours now.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Can you say definitively that there was collusion? There were people affiliated with the Trump campaign who were working with Russians to time the release of damaging information about Hillary Clinton that had been hacked either from John Podesta or the DNC?
I don't think we can say anything definitively at this point.
Have you seen anything, either through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
sure.
you've made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking on the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that.
But the collusion, though.
No. We have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
I don't know. How have we had all these months of insinuations and spinning of webs and conspiracy theories? I mean, you've got broadcast cable networks that have become conspiracy, you know, prime time 24/7. Is there any evidence to date of any collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians? Any?
To date, no. Now our reporting, and if you remember back in early March, I think we were one of the first to report that, and that really affirms what we were being told then. I think two things. It confirms what happens when you leak information in the classified world. The reason that a conspiracy theory can be sustained is that a lot of times people to correct the record would have to leak more information to correct the record, and people aren't willing to do that. So one side has been leaking select information, and the other side, the intelligence community, is reluctant, at least in open, to put information out there that would debunk it, even though they know it to be wrong. And I think that's the game that the critics, the people who are trying to make more of this than there's there right now, are playing. And it's an unfortunate thing for people whose reputations are put at stake and for a country that's being put through an awful lot of ups and downs, a roller coaster that may not be fully warranted.
Amazing, isn't it? And yet I'm called the conspiracy theorist. I'm just listening to what these people say. All right, stay right there. We'll come back. Yeah. John Solomon, Circa.com, and we'll get back more into his latest developments. And at the top of the hour, there is a pushback, fighting fire with fire. Conservatives trying to, all the attempts to silence conservative voices in the country. And we'll get to that. And also stop the scalping and this new effort to do to the left what they have been doing to conservatives to silence them for years and why this is important. Back in 2010, the federal government, hey, they took over the student loan industry. Wouldn't you know it? Oh, student loan debt has exploded. In fact, 44.2 million Americans now have student loans. They total over $1.3 trillion in debt. Now, student loan debt now exceeds all credit card debt. If you have a student loan, you know somebody that has one, you need to know or tell them about TrySofi.com, because TrySofi.com, TrySofi.com, they'll consolidate your student loans, government, private loans, into a simple loan with a lower rate. And they will literally, this will take 2 minutes of your time. You go online, you apply at TrySofi.com. The average TrySofi.com member saves over $22,000. There's no fee ever, no obligation, no hidden charges. You check your rate, doesn't impact your credit score, no worries there. In addition to a substantially lower rate, when you join the TrySofi.com family, you get all sorts of career services, networking, community events. All right, if you have a student loan, go to TrySofi.com. $22,000 on average over the course of your loan. That's money for a down payment for a house. That's a car, all right? Don't give it to a loan agency or a bank or the government. We'll take a quick break, come back, and continue. All right, News Roundup and Information Overload Hour. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you today. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Now, there has been for many years, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program today, there's George Soros-funded and Hillary-supported groups out there with millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, for years, they pay people to monitor every conservative in the country. And in the hopes of they get the one word, the one phrase, the one sentence that they can use and attack their advertisers, so that basically it's a backdoor way, I argue, of silencing opposition voices. It's always been that it's conservatives targeted. I have always said I will not participate in boycotts. When the Stop Colbert thing came out, I even tweeted out, I will not participate in a boycott. Now, very cleverly, I guess the left came up with this idea. Well, we're not going to boycott Hannity, but we're going to list all his advertisers. And we're going to make up and take out of context and cut and paste and make them sound as crazy as we can. And those of you that listen to this program, you know where I'm coming from. The thing that has been particularly hurtful about is, well, I'm the person that has interviewed Julian Assange more than anybody else in the country that I know of. Maybe there's somebody else, but I don't know. Is it three or four times we've had him on radio, one time on TV, and WikiLeaks has never been wrong in 11 years, whether you approve or disapprove what they do. It doesn't matter. They haven't been proven wrong. The New York Times, of all places, the paper of record, all the news that's fit to print, even they have gone out there and used WikiLeaks stuff. So Julian Assange, in all of these interviews, when I press him, says it's not Russia, it's not a state. Meaning the leaks, the DNC emails that Hillary and thousands of hours of TV coverage have been used to say there's a Trump-Russia connection. And the Russians leaked it to WikiLeaks because Donald Trump wanted him to, and that resulted in Hillary not winning the election. That's pretty much been the narrative. But Julian Assange says no. And then Julian Assange goes on his own and mentions Seth Rich. I'm not going to play it all again because I played it earlier. And so all I'm saying is, okay, if James Clapper, James Comey, and Brennan, and Dianne Feinstein, and Maxine Waters, and Joe Manchin, and everybody on the Democratic side, after all these months and months of conspiracy theories, they go out there and say, there's no evidence of collusion. Well, that sounds like a conspiracy to me. And then, of course, all the other vicious attacks against the president. It seems like they're trying to delegitimize him at best and remove him from office at some point if they possibly can. And so I've only listened to the one guy in the entire world that would know the source of where those DNC emails came from, and that's Julian Assange. And I listen to it, and I start asking questions. Now, then we look at the issue, which is a separate issue, who leaked to WikiLeaks, the sad, tragic, horrific murder of an individual. I'm not going to talk about it because I promised the family. And we had a great exchange, and I got a great thank you note from them, and I really appreciated it because I do feel for them. It's horrible what's happened to them in terms of losing a loved one. And so I'm like, all right, I'm asking the questions, and I'm following all of this, and I'm listening to Julian Assange go, we have whistleblowers that take enormous risks, and then unprompted, without missing a beat, goes into mentioning people's names. And then other sources get in touch with me and say, you know, there was a group, not one individual, but a group of people. I can't tell you everything I know because I haven't been able to confirm it all, but I've been told group of people within the DNC that are whistleblowers, truth seekers, truth tellers that discovered that, in fact, the DNC had literally baked. The fix was in that Bernie had no shot because of the collusion with the DNC, and they can prove it. I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer, but neither does the media. And raising questions does not make me a horrible person. But yet it has resulted in this campaign, which has now happened to many conservatives because their views aren't liked, although they're saying it's not a boycott. Anyway, so there is a new group. They actually started, I think, in May when I first heard about it. They're people that I've known for years. They started it without calling me, without telling me. I thanked them for supporting me at the time. Melanie Morgan, former talk show host and television host, and who's been a victim of boycotts herself, and the radio equalizer, Brian Maloney, who I've also known for years. Just for the record, I did not know you guys were starting this group. When did you start it? Back in April or May or something?
Well, we actually started May 8th, and no, we didn't let you know because, frankly, I thought, well, maybe we shouldn't be giving it all that much attention, Sean. But in my mind, as I've seen this thing roll out since May 8th when we started Stop the Scalpings, which is a group that we'll talk about in a minute. But in my mind, we are in an epic fight for good versus evil right now. And I think it is absolutely time for people to stand up and say who they support. Do they support Media Matters for America, who's, as you said, used millions and millions of dollars from George Soros and Hillary Clinton to lie, to slander, to defame, attack, to personally and professionally go after you, a man that I've known for almost 20 years now, who is the most honorable and has the most integrity of any person I have ever met. And I'm really serious about this. Or are you going to stand together with people who are generating this wicked, grotesque attack on freedom of speech? And I think it's just that simple, Sean.
Now, you're also saying, and Brian, welcome you to the program, you're saying it's not a boycott, but and I'm going to start playing because I've been accused of something that's false. And I've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist, and I've only asked questions. And yet there are so many others on TV. They never go. They go after, let's see, Dr. Laura. They've gone after Rush. They've gone after Beck. They've gone after O'Reilly. They've gone after, you know. And by the way, you know, some people say controversial things. I get it. But that's not the point here, is they want opposition. I don't like when Bill Maher suggests incest between the president and his daughter. I don't like what Colbert said. But I never saw conservatives do what the left always does. What's the difference?
Well, that's really a great point. And, you know, I've been doing media interviews all day, Sean, and, you know, people are asking me, but aren't you just doing the same thing you're upset that the left is doing? Aren't you just trying to shut down all the opposition voices? And no, we're not. What we're saying is, look, here's a taste of what you've been doing to us every day for years and years, and we've sat there, and for some reason we as conservatives have taken it. I have no idea why, but we're saying this is what it feels like when it comes back at you. And really, one of the biggest conspiracy theorists, one of the biggest conspiracy mongers out there on the airwaves today is Rachel Maddow. And the bottom line is, for some reason, she has this stellar mainstream reputation because the press is in love with her for reasons I don't know. But the bottom line is, when you actually go and analyze the content of her shows, she's peddling conspiracies every day. And now that her ratings are higher, I'm telling people, look, she deserves the scrutiny that's been applied to conservatives.
Now, you're saying it's not a boycott. All you've done is you have put out the things that she said in her own voice on her own show, and a list of her advertisers on her program. Is that correct, Melanie?
Yeah, and you can find it at Stop the Scalpings on Facebook, or just, you know, get our Twitter handle, SScalpings. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a list of all the kooky, crazy, nutty things that Rachel Maddow has ever said, with not only attribution to Rachel Maddow, but a video clip in her own words. Remember the Trump scoop, the tax scoop? She teased us and teased us and teased us, and then it was just a ridiculous payoff that had no basis, in fact. Well, she likes to live in the conspiracy swamp, so she can get down there and swim around with the alligators if she wants to. But you're a real journalist, and it just infuriates me that people from Media Matters have driven this boycott and generated this excitement around this boycott of your advertisers. And I say it's time to fight fire with fire, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving people the information that they need to contact Rachel Maddow's advertisers and do exactly to her advertisers what's been done to you. Create an awareness opportunity, Sean, as it were.
You know, I have so many things. Let's go to a couple of things, outrageous things that she said, and, you know, Trump being a gateway drug to David Duke and the KKK.
One thing that's getting a lot of traction on social media is the response to Donald Trump's speech from David Duke, the former Klan leader who is thinking about running for Congress again or running for some elected office again. He says, great Trump speech, America first, stop wars, defeat the corrupt elites, protect our borders, fair trade. Couldn't have said it better, meaning couldn't have said it better myself. And a lot of people who I think are critical of Donald Trump generally look at praise like that from somebody like Donald Duke and wonder if he is a gateway drug, if there is something beyond Donald Trump himself that means a much greater transformation of the Republican Party into something that is going to be new to mainstream politics.
And then let's go to a conspiracy, Cut 16, where she promoted the idea that the Boston bombing conspiracies, well, just listen.
They committed the bombing for the same cockamamie conspiratorial nonsense that we've all had to become so familiar with. But if this new reporting from the BBC and the Wall Street Journal is correct, that may not have been the only conspiratorial nonsense radicalism that was at work here. I mean, really, pick your poison, right? I mean, it's the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which Tamerlan Tsarnaev also apparently had a nice copy of. It's the protocols of Zion, or it's 9/11 truth, or it's what Anwar al-Awlaki sold to Nedim Ali Hassan. There's always been an appeal to this necrotizing conspiracy theory radicalism, which almost always butts up against justifying violence.
All right, now we're going to come back. We'll continue more of this. And what is the website again? It's Stop the Scalpings.
Well, it's MediaEqualizer.com is the best way to see all of this. And you can find our Twitter handle and our Facebook page.
What has been the reaction? I guess you released this at 9 Eastern today or thereabouts. What has the reaction been so far?
It's been absolutely enormous. Millions of people have responded already, and we have thousands of people calling advertisers. I've never seen anything take off faster, just as our Stop the Scalping effort has really taken off like a rocket. So MediaEqualizer.com is the place to see everything.
And you're both saying that this is not going to be the only liberal, if they continue to go after conservatives, that you're going to be going after.
Oh, absolutely right, Sean. I think that Lawrence O'Donnell and Chris Matthews and all the people at MSNBC who feel free.
Well, what about CNN? What about Stephen Colbert? What about George Stephanopoulos?
I think those are all people who are fair game. We have 6,000 committed activists at our Facebook location who are phone banking, even as we are speaking right now, contacting advertisers for Rachel Maddow. And I think that some of those people that you just mentioned may get a taste of it, too.
And you're also saying that if Media Matters stops, you'll stop.
Absolutely.
Well, sure, but will they? I mean...
Probably not. Yeah. I mean, I think they're just committed leftists, but...
No.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. More with Melanie Morgan, more with Brian Maloney. RadioEqualizer.com is their website, and it's hashtag Stop the Scalpings, and I do appreciate their support, and it's an interesting moment of time, because this has never happened to the left before. Their own tactics being used against them, but it's not a boycott. All it is a listing of insane conspiracy theories and advertisers.
Are we now operating in a political environment which is not just politics as usual, which is not just a rowdy debate? Has enough kerosene been poured on the flames that the possibility of violence, even assassination, is being posited as a real political tactic in the United States? I mean, in the past, we've had, like, you know, a first lady who worked on health policy. Once we had a president who hired his brother as attorney general. But we have come to think of even those things as exceptions to the rule. We have never thought of ourselves as a country where, like, Uday and Kuse get to be ministers of whatever they want, right? We don't think of ourselves as a ruling family kind of place. But now that's what we are.
Uday and Kuse. Let's compare the Trump kids to them. And did I hear that right? Was that Rachel talking about Obamacare opponents like wanting assassinations or killing people?
Well, it absolutely was. So that's what she was saying, was that anybody that was opposed to Obamacare was going to carry out actual political assassinations in a real sense. So, Rachel Maddow has been touting conspiracy theories for many, many years and getting away with murder.
Yeah.
My mama used to say, Rachel Maddow is cuckoo Cocoa Puffs. I mean, really, when you stop and think about some of the things that she's saying, it's unbelievable that there hasn't been some sort of investigation of this language. If a conservative had said something like this on the radio about Hillary Clinton or any other Democrat, you can guarantee that we would be under investigation by the FCC.
You know, I want to be very clear here, because I think this is important. There is a remote that every American has, and there's an on and off switch, and there is a channel changer, and you don't have to watch any show. What I'm trying to understand, and this is why I haven't supported boycotts, but I really understand what you're doing here. I think what you're saying is, okay, we can give out advertisers' names too. We're not calling for a boycott. And if people are sick and tired of the double standard, like you just pointed out, I mean, I can't imagine something similar being said about Obama's kids, or, you know, God forbid if death panels are mentioned by Republicans, that is the biggest news ever, or bizarre Russia Trump conspiracy theories where everybody is on tape saying there's no evidence, but they keep advancing it every day. I guess the question is, at this point, there is such a double standard. Am I getting to the root of what's driving this?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely are, Sean, and that's the bottom line. We're not trying to wipe every voice off of every station and every channel, left, right, and center, because ultimately that's, you know, everyone loses that game. But the point is just to fire back. So with Stop the Scalpings and MediaEqualizer.com, what we're trying to do here is say, look, here's a taste of it right back at you. Here's what it feels like. I think Rachel Maddow has a very thin skin. She lives in a bubble. She is not around people with opposing views. She doesn't have people with opposing views on her show ever. Didn't on the radio. Didn't take callers when she was a radio host ever. Just in case someone might call to disagree. These people live in a bubble in the Northeast. I live in the Northeast. I know the bubble they live in. I live in it too, but I can see what they're doing.
You know,
I have to say that it's time. It really is way past time for conservatives to get up some guts and start fighting back. We have to fight fire with fire, Sean. I mean, you've been leading this kind of fight back and push back over all the years. But where's everybody else? You know, you can't lead a parade if there's nobody behind you.
Did any liberal...
I just want you to know that we're right there behind you now.
No, and by the way, I appreciate it. Was there any liberal besides Lanny Davis, who I've known for many years, that tweeted out in support of me? Did any other cable host that you guys know of, because I don't watch these shows, but did any of them ever say, this is not right, I don't care if you like Hannity or don't like Hannity, agree with him, don't agree with him, think he's nuts or don't think he's nuts, don't go down this road, because... We, as the left, as liberals, support freedom of speech. Did any of them support me last week?
Well, let me just say that we've had over 6,000 activists at Stop the Scalping monitoring everything that's being said on Twitter about our campaign Stand With Sean. People like Jeannie Thomas and Joey and Linda and those people, thousands of them broken up into committees, and not one word has been reported from any host anywhere.
So in other words, they were perfectly
behalf.
Fine standing back on their liberal free speech principles. I don't know if they've ever defended Ann Coulter or Milo Yiannopoulos and his right to speak at Berkeley.
Right, right.
I don't know if, you know, here you have all these conservatives that are shut down on conservative campuses. And I just want to know one thing. So none of them defended me. Well, I'm going to tell you this right here now. As I said earlier, you're not calling for a boycott, but you know what? I support this. You know why I support this? Because this is their tactic, and it's being thrown right back in their face.
Exactly.
And if it stops, you guys said you'll stop. And
we
if,
will.
And if they don't stop, it's going to go, I'm guessing, Colbert, all the other MS shows, all the other CNN shows, Stephanopoulos. You know what I mean? And you're just giving people information. You're not asking for them to boycott.
We want to make very clear that we're not asking people to boycott, but we are asking them to go get the advertiser list and take a look at them and make some phone calls on behalf of all of us who really value freedom of speech in this country. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm really, really upset that this thing, it has gotten this far. It is un-American to do what has been done to you, Sean Hannity.
And everybody would be happy on the left and these other cable networks if I ended up on the cutting room floor basically dead and my voice silenced, because if they really cared about free speech, they would say, don't watch them. Turn the channel. But let him say what he wants. There's nothing that I'm saying that is outrageous, especially now. I had no idea, because I don't watch her show, that she said all these wacky things. But you know what? I believe she has the right to say it. But I also believe if liberals aren't going to defend the principle of free speech and they're going to let conservatives be targeted, then I say what's good for them is good for what's good for us is good for them. It's not a boycott. I'm within my principles, and it's basically, you know what it sounds like? Mutually assured destruction to me. They're going to try and push everybody out of wanting to advertise, and why they would let that go there is their business. But you know what? They put a bullseye right on my forehead. This is a kill shot, as I said to the Huffington Post last week. And I know that they want me out of radio and TV. They want my voice silenced. So, okay, let's see what happens with them. And maybe they'll wake up and say, you know what, this freedom of speech thing is a really good principle. Maybe we ought to all stand by it. And maybe we all ought to support each other, whether we agree politically or not. I support Rachel's right to be, frankly, conspiratorial nutty. That's what she sounds like to me. God bless her. But she didn't defend me. Nobody else defended me and my right. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, in spite of what they say. So, all right, let's get
to
some...
Can I just say this, Sean, that, Rachel Maddow lives in a conspiracy swamp, and that's what they accuse you of. This whole thing began over the murder of 27-year-old Seth Rich. That's a fact, not a conspiracy. This young man was horrifically gunned down in Washington, D.C., and nobody was looking into it, investigating it. That's what journalism is all about, and I know because I've done it for over 30 years. And what really puzzles me is why anybody would call you a conspiracy nut, because you're asking questions and trying to shine the light on a tragedy that has taken place.
Melanie, I had a great exchange with the family, and the family was on video saying that they wanted answers. And the brother, who I had a very nice exchange with, and I really liked him a lot, you know, he had said thank you after I said what I said on the air. But I also said, I'm not going to stop doing what I do, and I'm going to investigate. And all I know is what we know at this time, and that is that the guy that knows Julian Assange says it wasn't Russia. The guy that knows, the only one that knows for sure, Julian Assange brought up a name on his own. That's all we know. We've heard from Feinstein, Maxine Waters, Joe Manchin, Clapper, Brennan, and others, and Comey, that there is no evidence of a Trump-Russia conspiracy, which, by the way, MSNBC and CNN have been living on for months and months and months. Who's the conspiracy theorist here?
Well, that's absolutely it. And what I was telling a reporter earlier who was trying to go off on how, you know, how crazy it is that you're talking about Seth Rich, and I just said, you know, Rachel Maddow has never met a Russian oligarch that she couldn't tie to Donald Trump with. You know, anybody that owns 100 shares in a Russian oil company is secretly working with Trump. And it just becomes absurd. It's almost cartoonish. And I think that when we've really succeeded in this effort, it's when the headlines are instead about Maddow being embattled and under fire and, you know, on the ropes. And when we see, and I'm not, again, I'm not trying to get Rachel Maddow fired, but we get to the point where the tables are turned and they're the ones running for cover. Then I think the conservatives will have finally stood up and said, okay, we're finally fighting back. What took us so long? What have we been doing? I don't understand my own side sometimes, why we take so long to fight back.
You know, that is such a great point, Brian. I was at giving a speech today in front of the Marin County Conservatives, the Marin County Forum. I know it sounds kind of counterintuitive that in the San Francisco area that there are conservatives, but we're here. And I said the same thing. When are conservatives going to stand up and fight for the people we believe in, the people who have been on the leading edge of this front? And I got a standing ovation when I started talking about Stop the Scalpings, which is our effort to support you, Sean Hannity. And we also use a Twitter hashtag, Stand with Sean. We have to fight back. It is way past time. If we don't stop this right now, where are they going to stop? Are they going to stop at Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or any of the other people at Fox? No, they won't. David Brock of Media Matters will keep going over the next one and the next one and the next
right.
one. And
it's very Alinsky-like. They isolate, yeah. They target, they take out. They isolate, right. They target, they take out. And listen, I got to be honest. I think this is brilliant on your part. And I also think it's
Thank you.
Very, very important fight for the country. And as an advocate that I've been my whole career, how many times have people gotten so mad at me when I say Bill Maher is good for America? Why? Because Bill Maher says what he wants, and I just want the same freedom as a conservative. Not one liberal host, not one, defended me as I came under fire as they try to ruin my show, ruin my reputation, get me off the air. Now, they have a right to say anything they want about me, but at the end of the day, when you want to silence voices through this tactic of attacking their advertisers, everybody knows you get their advertisers, the show's gone. You lose your advertising base, you're done.
Bill Maher ought to be the guy that defends you, though, because sometimes he is a little bit independent-minded. He is the one that sometimes go after the left about jihadists. And that,
ask Bill Maher, me, Rush Limbaugh, Melanie Morgan, I think you were in this, Mel. We defended him back in the ABC politically incorrect days. We did.
Yeah.
You know, my father was actually a liberal, and I know I kind of went the other direction of rebellion. I don't know, but he was a member. He was a general counsel for the ACLU 30 years ago, and he would be spinning in his grave if he knew what liberals are doing to conservatives. He always said, "The more voices, the better. Don't try to silence anybody's voice. The more there is a vivid and robust discussion,
absolutely,
the better it is for this country."
Last point, and you're doing this only as they continue to try and shut down conservative voices. How can people help in this effort? What do you want people to do, and how do you want people to help, and where can they go?
Well, there's a variety of things they can do. First of all, everything they need to know is at MediaEqualizer.com, MediaEqualizer.com. Advertiser lists are there. Our press release is there. All the information about what Rachel Maddow has been saying on the air. And then also links to our Facebook page, Stop the Scalping. So it's hashtag Stop the Scalping. And then at Twitter, it is @scalpings. So those are places you can go. We are having people call advertisers. We have a variety of things that we want people to do to get involved. Thousands and thousands have already been participating, but we need you as well. So we're hoping that you'll join us today. Again, MediaEqualizer.com.
Well, people want to see what you guys are doing. I put it up on Hannity.com. You know, when you guys started this, I actually just saw it somewhere, and I'm like, wow, I'm very blessed. And I'll be honest, throughout this whole trial by fire that I'm living through here, I am very humbled, and I really don't even think I deserve it, by the love and support and the encouragement of so many people. And I'm blown away by it, to be honest, and I want to thank you both. And I appreciate your friendship. I don't know how this all ends, and I don't worry about it because, you know, to me is if they can take out every conservative voice, they will. And that, to me, is the liberal fascism that I have discussed many, many times. And so, Melanie, love you. Thank you. Brian, I don't love you, thank you. And
you like me.
I like you. Thank you. But
We got to say God bless you, Sean, and we got your back.
I am very, very humbled, and I'm not saying that. I mean, it blows me away, and I just feel I'm just thankful. Thank you for your friendship.
You're one of the good guys in the business, Sean. You always have been, and people know it that work in broadcasting and radio television. It's well known. So,
well, I truly appreciate it, guys. We're going to continue to follow it. Both of you will be on TV tonight. We're going to show some of these crazy conspiracies of the left and, you know, let people know what's going on to take my voice out. It's not really about me. It's about ending Fox, killing Fox. It's about killing talk radio. And now there's an effort, fight back and fight fire with fire. And it's probably way overdue. All right, that's all the time we have left for today. If I'm on Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel, if I'm on there, we've got the very latest on the Fight Fire with Fire campaign and the Soros Clinton group and Stop the Scalping and what's happening with that. We'll hit that. Also, Newt Gingrich is going to weigh in on the deep state, freedom of speech in jeopardy. John Solomon and Sarah Carter join us tonight, and Jay Sekulow will check in with us, and so much more. 10 Eastern, Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Hope you'll join us if I'm there. See you back here tomorrow.